What I want to do today is sing throughout the message.
And there will be Christmas carols.
That we will be looking at.
Amen.
There will be Christmas carols that we will be looking at. But has anybody ever heard of a Christmas service called Festival of Nine Lessons and Carols?
We just did.
No, we didn't. Wrong. Festival of Nine Lessons and Carols. It was a festival that is, well, it's actually done every single year, and it's done at King's College in Cambridge. And it started in 1918 on Christmas Eve. That's when it was done. During World War I, the dean of the school at the time was a man called Eric Milner White. He served as the army chaplain at the 7th Infantry Division during the Great War. And what he found was that the hearts of many people had been hardened, and they had an attitude against religion. So taking advantage of the fact that he was at King's College, he used the choir at Cambridge to introduce this special Christmas service. This special Christmas service trying to attract people to come back to Christian worship, really. The idea behind the service was to bring more of an imaginative approach to worship. It was first broadcast in 1928, and even to this day, it is still held. I think it was held on the 20th this year, so a couple days ago. You turn the radio on, and like me, if you are like me, you sing a lot of songs and you have no idea what you're singing. If you stop and pay attention to some of the songs, even some of the country songs that I sing, it's like, wow, I really shouldn't be singing those things. But what I would like to do today is something similar to what they do in Cambridge. Obviously, we're not in Cambridge, but it is to look at certain parts of the carols and to get the message from that. Turn with me to 599. 599. We won't see it just yet. You might be up for 599. O holy night, it reads like this. O holy night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of the dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared and his soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices. From yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Fall on your knees. Oh, hear the angels' voices. Oh, night divine, oh, night when Christ was born. Oh, night, oh, holy night, oh, night divine. This hymn, or this carol, it was written by a Frenchman. And if you look at the bottom right over there, you'll see that the text was written by a man called Placide Capot. See that? Placide Capot. Placide, or Capot, we'll call him. Capot was the son of a cooper. You know what a cooper is? The job of a cooper. He made barrels. He made wooden barrels. And Capot would have followed in his father's footsteps, but when he was 8 years old, he accidentally, playing with his friend accidentally shot him in the hand, and his hand had to be amputated, the writer of this hymn. So he couldn't follow his dad in his trade, so he took more of an academic approach to his career. The man's son who shot him actually paid for half of his education. So he went on to school. The man felt bad, he paid for his education. The shooter, despite his handicap, he actually did very well academically, and he won drawing competitions. He went on to study literature. He went on to become a lawyer, actually. He got his degree. He passed in 1831. But he really didn't stay in that. He became a merchant of wines and spirits, but his focus was really on literature. Now, here's when he writes the poem, or the song. A parish priest at Capoe's community asked him to write a Christmas poem to celebrate the renovation of their organ. And Capoe agreed to do it. Well, listen to this. Despite being an avid atheist and a vocal anti-cleric, he researched the book of Luke. He researched the book of Luke and wrote O Holy Night. An opera singer, Emily Laurie, saw the text and asked a Jewish friend of hers to write the music to it. And if you see here at the bottom, the music is written by who? Adolf Adam, right? Adolf Adam. So this man writes the music to her, to it, and she sings it, and it becomes extremely popular. Extremely popular. Now here's another side note on O Holy Night, which I found very interesting. A side story. In 1906, Reginald Findinson, a 33-year-old university professor and former chief chemist of Thomas Edison, did something that was thought impossible. Using a new type of generator, he spoke into a microphone, and for the first time in history, a voice was broadcast over the airwaves. And he read from the book of Luke. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. He began in a clear and strong voice. Shocked radio operators on ships and wireless owners at newspapers who used the Morse code over the tiny speaker. This time they could hear the voice of this man reading for the first time ever. When the professor finished his reading, he picked up his violin and played O Holy Night. The first song ever played over the airwaves in the whole world. Imagine that, the surprise of the listeners who were just hearing the deck deck of the Morse code, now could hear a voice. And the first song ever played over the radio was that, O Holy Night. So let's sing O Holy Night. Let's just sing the first and the second stanzas. But I want you What I'd like to point out in this carol is the words that are found, long lay the world in sin and error pining. Long lay the world in sin and error pining. Pining means suffer a mental or physical decline, especially because of a broken heart. Long lay the world, Capo writes, the world in sin and error pining. I found it interesting that Capo, the writer, the Frenchman who wrote this, an avid atheist, reads the Gospel of Luke and can pin such words. Quite interesting. Quite interesting. And you know what? He was not wrong. The Bible says, Romans 5, therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and even and death through sin, even so death spread to all because all have sinned. Or Romans 3, Paul writes to the Romans as well. He says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Long lay the world in death and error pining. Man is helpless. Man is in a sinful state. And Capo, an avid atheist, can write these words. It's like being dropped into the middle of the ocean and not knowing to sin. Not knowing how to swim. It's the result of sin. Death is guaranteed. And as Capo writes, long lay the world in sin and error pining. Go to 601 now. It's just over a page. Let's go to 601. God rest ye merry gentlemen. It reads like this. God rest ye merry gentlemen, let nothing you dismay. Remember Christ our Savior was born on Christmas Day to save us all from Satan's power when we had gone astray. O tidings of comfort and joy. Comfort and joy. O tidings of comfort and joy. So in the earlier this carol was actually an anonymous manuscript. No one really knows who wrote it, but it dates back to 1650. The earliest known printed edition of it is 1760. So we know who wrote O Holy Night, but we don't know who wrote God Rest You Merry Gentlemen. But it's the gospel. The gospel was in it, and it shows the need of a savior. Mankind is guilty. Mankind guilty of disobedience and rebellion against God has been enslaved to sin. The face of God's wrath is against them. As we saw, the Bible says that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And the Bible also says the wages of sin is death. Right? But we see this in the Christmas story. But God sent his only begotten Son. And that is what really Christmas is all about. The incarnation, he sent his only begotten Son so that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life, right? So in this carol, we are told to be happy and merry, right? We are told to be happy and merry because we can rest from Satan's grip. It says it right this. Remember Christ our Savior was born on Christmas Day to save us all from Satan's power when we had gone astray. Let's sing all three stanzas of God Rest You Merry Gentlemen. I might stop us in between because I am looking at the clock, so we'll see how it goes. So going back to our example of being thrown into the middle of the ocean and not being able to swim, if we're going to survive, someone needs to come and save us. Someone needs to come and save us. And mankind must be special, because the Christmas story is about how God became man to rescue man from sin and death. One of my favorite verses is in Galatians chapter 4, and it was read this morning in the Lord's Supper. 4:4, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman. We must be special if God has not sent his Son. Go to 602, over one page. Hark the herald, angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Joyful all ye nations rise, join the triumph of the skies. With angelic host proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Now listen to the second poem. Christ by highest heaven adored, Christ the everlasting Lord. Late in time behold him come, offspring of the virgin's womb. There he is. He came to rescue. Veiled in flesh, the Godhead see. Hail the incarnate deity, pleased with men, pleased with us in flesh to dwell, Jesus our Emmanuel. Now this, just to give you a little bit of history, Hark the Herald was an English Christian carol that first appeared in 1739, and it's really based on Luke chapter 2, verse 14, where it tells of the angelic chorus is singing towards God, right? It was written by Charles Wesley. Anybody recognize that name? Charles Wesley? Charles Wesley was another Englishman. A lot of good stuff came out of England, including my wife. But Charles Wesley was an Englishman. Charles Wesley was an Englishman born in 1707, and he was the principal Anglican leader of the Methodist movement. He was the guy who kind of was instrumental in setting that movement up. But he was a prolific hymn writer. He wrote over 6,500 hymns. hymns that include, and some of you may know, hymns like "And Can It Be?" "Oh for a Thousand Tongues," "Christ the Lord is Risen Today." You recognize some of those, Mac? And "Hark the Herald Angels Sing." He was a smart man. He was educated at Oxford University. That was Charles Wesley. So let's sing "Hark the Herald Angels Sing." We'll sing the first two. I might stop us after the first one, but we'll play it by ear.
Joyful love.
through the newborn King, God and sinners can be reconciled. We sang that, right? We're also reminded in this that Jesus took on himself human flesh, right? It says, God, by highest heaven adored, Christ the everlasting Lord, veiled in flesh, veiled in flesh, the Godhead see, hail the incarnate deity. The Apostle Paul, he wrote like this, there is one God and one mediator between God and men, man, Christ Jesus. The incarnate deity, right? God was in Christ, he said, another verse, reconciling the world unto himself. Now we know that the Lord Jesus was born, and when he came in a very humble way, and it was there in Bethlehem, right? And there are many Christmas carols that deal with the birth of the Lord, away in a manger. We sang earlier, O little town of Bethlehem, go tell on the mountain is another one. But others emphasize the heart of the Christmas and the birth of the Messiah. But we know, as believers, and maybe you don't know, but we know that Jesus did not stay in that manger. The reason we celebrate his birth is because of who he is, the Son of God, and because of what he came to do to save his people from their sins. Now, it may sound strange, but it is the only way that God can save us from drowning there in the middle of the ocean is for his Son to come and take our place. He had to become flesh. He had to make himself man. Go to the next carol, 606. What child is this? And this is one of my favorites. He became man to take our place. 606. What child is this who lay to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping? Whom angels greet with anthems sweet while shepherds watch their keeping. This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. Haste to bring him law, the babe, the man, the Son of Mary. But it's this part that I wanted us to focus on and look at. Why lies he in such mean estate where ox and ass are feeding? Good Christian fear, for sinners hear the silent word is pleading. Here it is. Nail's spear shall pierce him through. The cross he bore for me and you. Hail, the word made flesh, the babe, the Son of Mary. This hymn was written by Mr. William C. Dix, also English, born in 1837. And what I like about this writer is that he was not a clergyman. He was a businessman. He was a businessman from Somerset in England. He trained in the business world and he became a manager of marine insurance for a company up in Glasgow. But he wrote this carol which is one of my favorites. So let's sing 606. What child is this?
Angels greet with anthems
child is this? Nails, spears shall pierce him through, the cross he bore for me and you. When he died on the cross, he paid for the penalty of all sins for all who would believe in him. See how carols are full of gospel truth. Paul, he wrote to the Colossians, and I'll read this. When you were dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive in Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. He has taken away, nailing it to the cross. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them on the cross. Nails and spears shall pierce him through. The cross he bore for me and you. Go to 6:14 now. 6:14. First Noel. And look at the last, it says, let us all with one accord sing praises to our heavenly Lord, that hath made heaven and earth of naught, and with his blood mankind he bought. That's what I want to focus on that one. With mankind, his blood he bought. Noel, Noel. Jesus said like this, I have not come to be served, but to serve, and to give my life as a ransom for many. With his blood, mankind he bought. Let's sing the first and the last one of 6:14. Crucified on the cross, today is seated at the right hand of God. Amazing. Amazing. Now, by paying for the penalty of sin and defeating its power, Christ alone can make salvation to all who believe and make him Lord and Savior of their life. The writer of Noel is unknown. The writer of this one is unknown. But the words that he penned are nothing more than truth, right? And with his blood, our life he bought. My wife did most of her shopping on Amazon. Maybe a lot of you did a lot of your Christmas shopping on Amazon as well. But you go in, you click, you find what you want to do, and you have to buy it. You have to buy it. And it costs you something. What does it cost you? Your hard-earned dollar. It costs you your hard-earned dollar. To the recipient of that gift who is going to be given, there is no cost. But to the giver, there is a cost, right? For Christ to gift eternal life to the believer, to the one who believes in him, makes him Lord and Savior of his life, it cost him what? His life. It cost him his life. And as we're saying, so that with his blood, our life was bought. To the receiver, it is a gracious gift. And grace is exactly that. Receiving something that you already thought was good. That's grace. The next one that we'll sing talks about this redeeming grace, this gift that is free to us, but cost God and his son a lot. Turn to 628. Silent Night. The third part of Silent Night, it reads like this: Silent Night, Holy Night, Son of God, loves pure light. Radiant beams from thy holy face with the dawn of redeeming grace. There's that word grace. Jesus, Lord, at thy birth. Jesus, Lord, at thy birth. Let's go ahead and sing that one. Let's sing 1 and 3. 1 and 3. Church in 1850, and he wrote Silent Night. But redeeming grace, that is why Jesus came. That's what we sang about. Redeeming grace, that is why Jesus came. It is why he died, so that through him, sinful man might be reconciled and restored to God. Redeeming grace, right? Redeeming grace. That's the message of Christmas that it brings to. That is the message of Christmas. And really, if you stop to think about it, it brings sinners to a crossroads. It brings sinners to a crossroads. And they have to, they must deal with the person of Christ. You have to. You have to. Will you embrace him as Lord and Savior? Or will you dismiss his claim and reject his offer of salvation? It's there. It's there. But you have to decide what you're going to do. Suddenly, the Christmas carols become something very, very personal, don't they? They become something very, very personal. And every person has to decide what they think of this person, Jesus Christ. In the next one that we'll sing, there's a question that's asked, and the question is this: do you have room in your life for Jesus, or do you not? The next carol says, actually, it says, "Let every heart prepare him room." Go to 603. Joy to the world, joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart, where it's become personal, let every heart prepare him room. And heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing. Let's sing, let's sing the first and the second. He was a precocious boy. Sounds like he would be, based upon what he ended up doing and becoming. He was a precocious boy. He began studying Latin at 4. He was writing acceptable verses at 7. Not bad. At the age of 16, he went on into London. The age of 16, Isaac, your age, he went to London to study at the Academy of Reverend Thomas Rowe, who was an independent minister. But Isaac Watts is credited with 750 hymns, some which include the well-known When I Survey the Wondrous Cross and Joy to the World. He is recognized as the, this is, I quote, the godfather of English hymnody. Is that correct? So, a man with that mental capacity, he puts us to the challenge. He puts those who are going to sing this for years to come. Let every heart prepare him room. Right? Let every heart prepare him room. Once we make room for Christ in our life, it truly is a wonderful thing. It truly is a wonderful thing. There is this unexplainable peace that is given. Physical death is no longer a fear in some. Physical death is no longer a fear. And gratitude pours out from the hearts of those who have known that their sins have been forgiven. That's the Christmas story. He came. He was born, the incarnate deity, but he came for a reason. He died. And all those who receive him, there is this unexplainable peace. The last one that we'll sing, go to 627. Oh, come, let us adore him. O come, all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. O come ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold him, born the King of Angels. O come, let us adore. The fourth one said, the fourth one? No. He has three. The third one, sorry. The third one says, yea, Lord, we greet thee, born this happy morning. Jesus, to thee be all glory given. Word, the Father now in flesh appearing. Let's sing, O come, all ye faithful. Go through the first and the third. Savior. The believing in him, trusting in his sacrifice, and submitting all authority to him in our lives, right? So, the question is, you know, what is your response? What is our response? I sit around and I see a lot of regular churchgoers, people that I know. But the truth is, people outside, they'll sing these hymns, not knowing exactly what it means, not knowing exactly what the meaning or the depth of what it is they are singing. Question is, what will they do with Christ this season, right? Well, what are they going to do? Are they going to ignore him? Are they going to dismiss him? You know, are they going to sing songs about Christmas, not knowing exactly what they're singing, not knowing exactly what they're saying? Or the option is, will they submit to him, who he truly is, no longer that little babe born in Bethlehem, but the risen and exalted Lord who is seated at the right hand of God? That's the gospel message. That's the message of Christmas. That's the gift that God offers. Praise the Lord for many of you who have already accepted and taken that in. But there is still a very lost world out there who needs to know and understand what exactly is it they have seen. So the invitation of Christmas is really to embrace the gift. The Bible's invitation is really to embrace the true gift of Christmas. The Lord Jesus promises forgiveness, salvation, and eternal life to all who are willing to make room for him. Let's go out and share that to a lost world. May you all have a wonderful Christmas. It's on Wednesday. I hope you have an enjoyable time. And as you sing, maybe you've learned a little bit more about these hymns and who wrote them and stuff like that. But who wrote them really doesn't matter. It's the message that matters. You've learned something from that. Skip, can you close the prayer for us?
Heavenly Father, Lord, we do want to thank you so much for your grace and mercy to us. Lord, we know grace by this, that you sent your Son. In Christ, none of us can pay. So we do pray that if there be any among us here who don't understand, let them take hold of the salvation you offer. Lord, we pray that this year they would make a decision to reach out to the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you again. We pray that you be honored and glorified in our midst. We pray that this Christmas season will be very special to us. In Jesus' name.